One of the most interesting possibilities in learning more about how the universe came to be, all that is around us, and is, was, or ever will be, is the idea of black holes. If we can ever understand these enigmatic violations of everything we see as rational, would unlock an insight into the nature of the universe that is unparalleled. But this is a big if. Because our venerable theories like Einstein's general relativity that correctly predicts so much that we can prove with observation simply breaks down with black holes, despite predicting their existence. And there is no guarantee that the universe at this level can ever be understood. It's not beholden to allow us to know how it fully works. This is a worse problem than is generally known. So general relativity very clearly predicts black holes, though the concept is much earlier. In 1784, John Michell calculated that if you got enough matter and its gravity together, light couldn't escape it. He called them dark stars, and the idea was not popular at the time. This was very early in the game, however, and how Michell thought of light and stars is now obsolete. But the seed was there, hiding in the obscurities of physics for over a century, waiting for Einstein to hammer it home with relativity. Once again, these objects could be. The problem is, he thought it was some kind of error. Einstein felt that the prediction of such an object with gravity so intense that even light can't escape was absurd. He also felt quantum entanglement was also absurd. But as we know in modern times, both of these things exist, and have survived everything skeptical scientists could throw at them. At this point, they must be, and the universe is again not beholden to working how we would like it to, neat and tidy. But that's not to say that general relativity works for black holes. It doesn't. It merely predicts them. The warping of space-time at the singularity, if there is one at the center of a black hole, completely discombobulates the theory, and everything goes off scale. Our most common view of a black hole is in the creation of one. A massive star explodes in a supernova, and its core collapses down because there are no remaining forces of nature that can defeat gravity. While it's the weakest force, it's also cumulative, and if you have enough matter clumped together, gravity wins. But there are other ways to create black holes. You could do it artificially with enough matter clumping. Or you can make micro black holes in the particle accelerator. You could even, in theory, make a Kugelblitz, where you bombard an area of spacetime with so much energy that it can severely warp spacetime and form an event horizon and become self-trapped. Thus, you have a black hole created from energy rather than matter. But there are other ways for nature itself to make black holes. One is the hypothetical primordial black hole. These would have been a consequence of, and forming shortly after, the Big Bang. The idea goes like this. In the very early universe during the inflationary period, it might have been possible to form black holes out of very dense regions of subatomic matter. These can be tiny and are not limited to the giant masses of stellar black holes, but they can also be extremely important. One possible mechanism for the unexpected James Webb telescope discovery of large galaxies earlier than they should have been possible is through the influence of primordial black holes. As an aside, these types of tiny black holes may or may not be common in the universe. It's thought that the really tiny ones would have evaporated by now through Hawking radiation. So only those above a certain mass should still be around. If they are common, however, it's possible that we may be far closer to one of these than we are to a stellar black hole, which is currently thought to be about 1500 light years. And it's possible that there might actually be a primordial black hole within the solar system itself. One of the hypotheses advanced to explain the peculiar orbits of some outer solar system objects has been a primordial black hole, rather than the hypothesized Planet 9. This would lead to an odd, perhaps disheartening scenario. If that's the case, it's going to be centuries before we ever find such a small but gravitationally powerful object out there, without physically going to the outer solar system and doing a whole lot of searching. Whereas if it's a planet, we'll find it within the next 10 years, with the survey telescopes that are coming online. But there's another type of hypothesized black hole here that blurs all of the lines of what we think of as the universe. Here, this universe would not actually be all that ever was, is, or will be, but simply a current incarnation of that. And there may be remnants of the previous universe that are still here, in the form of black holes older than the current universe itself. Here we go back to the Big Bang. The Big Bang is also described as a singularity, which, like the heart of a black hole, general relativity breaks down, so we can't use that to determine what actually happened. This actually involves a different take on the Big Bang. The idea is known as the Big Bounce, and instead of a singularity that essentially explodes, a previous universe that was collapsing reaches a point of finite density, not infinite, and then bounces back in the form of a new universe. This may have been happening an indefinite amount of times, leading to the term cyclic cosmology. Part of the problem with this idea, however, is dark energy, the driver and accelerator of the expansion of the universe that we have no real understanding of, other than its effect. The question is, could black holes from the previous incarnation of the universe have survived into the current one? There are actually two ways this might have happened, depending on how the Big Bang or the Big Bounce played out. The first way is to think about the crunch that would have played out before the expansion of the new iteration of the universe. Here, things at some point would have gotten really dense, opening the way for black holes to have formed and survived the death throes of the previous iteration. Interestingly, if these black holes were large enough, they might provide a path to explaining dark matter, but also might have been the seeds for the supermassive black holes we see at the centers of most galaxies. The other option is some black holes full on surviving the Big Bounce to the next cycle. There are a lot of unknowns and variables here, and quite a few models of cyclic cosmology, but it might be that black holes from previous universes can survive it. But it's also possible that during each iteration, the number of black holes merging during the crunch increases, resulting in the eventual end of the universe coming in the form of a single, all-encompassing black hole, in some future incarnation of the universe where the cycle simply stops. It's also been suggested that these pre-universe black holes might actually be distinguishable with enough data, on enough of them to settle the question of whether they are older than the universe, or the related question of whether primordial black holes from the very beginning of the universe formed the seeds of supermassive black holes, and thereby dictated or influenced the formation of galaxies. And this leads to yet another mystery. Recent evidence has shown that there are black holes in the universe that shouldn't exist at all, at least according to our current ideas. While mysterious, there are things we can and do know about black holes, stemming from both observation of the environments around them, but also from theory backed up through other means, such as quantum mechanics, and what we do know about the behavior of gravity. In other words, they are still behaving according to the laws of physics, but our knowledge of the laws of physics is incomplete. And that means we are guaranteed new physics in the future, and the process of scientific revision still has a great distance to go. Indeed, we may never understand all of it, because it's possible that nature provides no way to do so. But in the study of black holes, there have been predictions based on their mass and gravity that seemingly put some constraints on them. One was just where supermassive black holes could exist. After all, if you don't have enough of a galaxy to grow a supermassive one from, then how would it grow without enough available mass? As a result, you should not see really enormous ones in smaller galaxies, right? Well, the first chink in the armor of this idea actually came from computer simulations, and it may shed light on the early universe. It turns out, in the modeling, large black holes started showing up not exactly where they should be. More recent observations show unusually large black holes existing in very tiny galaxies, in comparison to the giant spirals like Andromeda or the Milky Way. And some of these large black holes aren't even sitting at the centers of those small galaxies, but even at their edges, with some in the process of being kicked out, though that isn't unheard of. Everything about this suggests that hidden in this question is a new way to look at and study just how galaxies came about and evolved, something that's a hot topic right now given oddities about galactic ages and black holes that the James Webb Space Telescope seems to be revealing. Part of the reason supermassive black holes become so is that galaxies merge, at least large ones. They collide and share material, allowing for the continued growth of the supermassive black holes, as the matter of the galaxy gets disrupted. Indeed, in the far future, the Milky Way and Andromeda will collide and exchange materials, but with very small dwarf galaxies, this effect should be lesser, which offers an opportunity. If there are pristine dwarf galaxies that contain black holes, then that might give us a fossil of sorts of how the early universe and early black hole formation itself happened. There actually is observational evidence for this in dwarf galaxies, where there does seem to be emissions consistent with the presence of surprisingly large black holes, which is also predicted by some modeling. But ultimately, no one yet knows why these black holes exist, where they are, and how that came to be. Thanks for listening. I'm futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, currently concerned about the universe eventually turning itself into a giant black hole, This might actually mesh with the theory that the universe actually is a black hole, or a white hole. But if the end of the universe black hole comes into being, can it evaporate? Can it eventually explode into a white hole and start the cycle over? Gives me a headache thinking about it, and be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular, in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.